25 years ago today, cable TV got a new channel that's changed how we relate to the places we call home, HGTV.
Our wish list is we want space and we need a backyard. I need a backyard.
At least 4 bedrooms and at least 3 bathrooms.
Yeah. Katie and Cody, you guys ready to check out your picture upper?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so decision made?
Yes.
Yeah.
And are you going to love it?
Or are you going to list it?
We are going to list it.
Yes.
Oh, the moment where they decide to do the thing you don't want them to do. Home and Garden Television has inspired us to change up our decor, to think big about renovations, to do it ourselves, to have it all open plan. Yes, we can install our own hardwood floors. We can replace that window. We will tear down that wall. We have a sledgehammer. We can use it. We can flip this house and sell it. Or we can just kick back on the couch and watch someone else do these things and critique them while they do it. And that's why we have Rhonda here with us. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Rhonda Kaysen writes about real estate for the New York Times. And like me, she loves to watch HGTV. Welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. This is one of my perennial favorites. I'm curled up all weekend watching HGTV. And I think it's practically an American pastime at this point.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, HGTV has built a super strong fan base over the last 25 years. Remind us how it started out and what made it take off.
Well, so it was founded in 1994 by 2 TV and radio executives. And it was originally, they called it Home, Lawn, and Garden Channel. And it was this very tame network. Like, think of it as This Old House meets Martha Stewart. The very first show was Room by Room. And the host would, like, show you how to do these kitschy DIY projects, like stuff your own throw pillows.
Something we all need to know.
I know, right? There was another show called Decorating Sense where you would get tips on how to decorate your room for, like, $500. And so everything changed in 1999 because they launched House Hunters. And this put HGTV on the map. And they went from being sort of quasi-educational to house porn.
House porn.
Can I say house porn?
Yeah, we can say house porn. But there's something else that 1999 signifies. It's the start of the housing boom, right? And House Hunters kind of tapped into what was going on in the U.S. at the time.
Yeah, the timing couldn't have been better. So the country's starting this housing boom and, you know, millions of Americans start buying homes on cheap credit. And sort of for the first time, we start thinking about homes not as a place where you live out your life, but where there's this investment and it's a source of endless cash. Your house sort of becomes a piggy bank. So House Hunters was this show that sort of told us how to shop and how to look for houses as like an investment and an aspiration and as something that you could turn into potential profit, that it was a game, like which one will they choose and which one should we choose? So they kind of tapped into what was happening with the culture and we were thinking really differently. We weren't just stuffing throw pillows anymore.
Why did you call it house porn?
I think there's something about it that we like watching other people make these choices and you can hate them and you can love them and you can get invested in them and you're not really like an active participant and you get to watch a kitchen look fantastic and everything is very simple and easy. And we all know that like renovating a kitchen is the furthest thing from simple and easy. Mm. Yet when it's all done, the homeowner cries and they all come in and everything's so beautiful and the pillows are just right. And there's a big oversized clock above the mantle and everything's been hung just right. And so it's very like it turns what is actually a grueling, difficult task into this very easy, glossy, soft focus experience.
Yeah, I mean, it is true that every single person that I know that has renovated their house has like either ended up in bankruptcy, hating their contractor, and crying multiple
divorce court,
exactly. And this is reality TV, though, right? And so much of it is staged, so much of it is scripted. What are some of the things that they do there, though? Take us behind the scenes. What is a show like Property Brothers or Love It or List It really like?
Okay, well, first, I want to talk about budget before we go there, because these budgets are absurd. A lot of these shows are set in more affordable areas, like Fixer Uppers in Waco, Texas, Good Bones, which is a newer show about a mother-daughter duo. They're in Indianapolis. So, you know, you might be able to read your kitchen.
They never tell you that.
No, they don't tell you that. And many of the shows, like Property Brothers, you're not even sure where on the planet they are. It's just like vague city. But then I've talked to producers of some of these shows. And for example, sometimes on some shows, they when they paint the house, they may just paint the front. Like they may not actually paint the whole house. Wow. Also, I spoke with HGTV executives, and the reason that they are so big on open concept is because it gets the male viewers. Like guys like to watch sledgehammers and like taking out walls. So like it's for TV. It's not for like what's the best interest of the house necessarily.
This and is crazy. Wait a second. Are you telling me that the open plan concept, which we are all prisoner to, is because dudes like to watch HGTV and sledgehammers?
Dudes will only watch HGTV if there's sledgehammers. This is how you get your boyfriend to sit with you on the couch and watch it if you get to watch Jonathan Scott like knock down a wall.
I can't even tell you how betrayed I feel right now.
I know. And so we all live in a house without walls because it looks good on TV.
So I read this statistic. In 2017, Americans spent $424 billion in home improvements. That's 40% more than in 1996. And as you mentioned, we are following the aesthetic that they have all sort of implanted in our brains. And so I want to talk about Greige.
Right. And the whole thing with Greige, which if you do not know Greige, it is that color that is neither gray nor beige, yet a slightly in-between color, and has taken over everything. It's a great color if you're trying to sell a house, because when you're selling your house, you don't want a lot of personality. But with HGTV, there's always this aim for selling. And I think it's turned us into, to some extent, people who think always in terms of selling our homes. So Greige has sort of taken over because it's this great neutral and it'll really work with resale when you're not moving anytime soon. So paint your walls teal. Like, who cares?
Or black, and it's, or anything, I think, else.
Anything. But that.
Why do you think we're watching so much right now?
I think there's two ways to look at it. I think on one hand, there's a lot of instability, and HGTV gives you this very neat, packaged, idealized life where everything is solved in 30 minutes. But I think it goes deeper. Our homes are our biggest investment, and there's a lot of anxiety around that. Like, will we make a mistake? Did you make a mistake? Should you update your kitchen? Why haven't you? And HGTV is kind of like this big sister who tells you that it's totally doable. It's really fun. You can rip out all your walls. Everything will be great. And you can make this space exactly what you want. You can control it in a time when you can't control much else in your life. You can control your house. And with the right shade of Greige, you will have like this fantastic house.
I will make a confession. I've had dreams where some of the stars from HGTV have shown up at my house and done things.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yes.
Which ones?
Well, I'm not telling on the radio. That's Rhonda Kaysen, okay. Contributor to the New York Times, talking to us today about HGTV, which turns 25 years old today. Rhonda, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was so much fun.